I want to still discuss with you a matter of faith, primarily because it's a very, very big subject, very important. I suppose it's the most crucial issue in our consideration of the various subjects we've talked about. Faith is the link between ourselves and God. If we don't have some rather strong, substantial process, a process as substantial as the process of electromagnetic current, for example. Without electromagnetic current, most of the things we function with today would be useless. Probably even in the beginning when people used water wheels to generate their power. There was, in other ways, energy flowing. Without energy, we couldn't function. And there are many kinds of energy. Heat energy, light energy, mechanical energy, electromagnetic energy. There's many different kinds of energy, and it's more than just a matter of plugging a unit into the walls. It's more than the mechanical devices we have invented. Because we couldn't breathe or move or do anything without a flow of energy in this world. Whether we know how to always tap that energy, whether we know always how to make the best use of that energy, is a secondary point. We've got to have a steady, ceaseless flow of energy that is independent of ourselves. We don't have to keep pulling it into focus. Today, to function in this world, even if you are completely isolated from all mechanical devices and didn't use any of them, still, there are many ways that energy has to be a part of our lives that we cannot possibly have to be sophisticated to employ. It can't be dependent upon our emotions. It can't be dependent upon our knowledge. It can't be dependent on whether we believe or do not believe in energy. It can't be dependent upon whether we're environmentalists or snail darter enthusiasts or whatever it is that people mix up in, and people's concept of what energy is and what it takes to run a country. Whereas many people may have a totally absurd view of the meaning of energy or the processes by which we retrieve it or use it, it is comforting to know that the energies of this universe are made available to us in spite of it. If we had to have a right attitude about energy before we could use it, we'd all be in trouble. Now we come to faith on the same basis. If we are going to entertain any kind of a substantial relatedness to God, there has got to be the kind of flow between ourselves and God that is not dependent upon how we feel when we get out of bed in the morning. If people get out of bed in the morning, they don't always feel too good about life. I also am a grasshopper in the face of God. That's what Isaiah 40 says. We are as grasshoppers before God. Welcome to the club of grasshoppers. Why? Because how can I know God? How can I say to you, I know God? If I think I have faith and I know God because I know a lot of things about life, about history, religion, but do you think that what I know about God is one drop in the bucket compared to what there is to know about God, or compared to what God knows. Knowledge does not guarantee faith. It opens the door to faith. So I have to say to you, or ask you, how does this grasshopper touch God? It's a big question. And we're sunk if the answer is by our own effort. We're sunk. Having faith in God has got to be based upon what God does for us or to us, rather than what we do to God. If God is the source of energy, and He wants me to survive on this planet, He has to keep the flow of energy going, and I can't be responsible for it. Because I can plug a toaster in the wall, but I can't keep the earth, I can't even budge the earth one fraction of an inch to keep it going around. And I can't call down the energies of the universe to function. If I have to think every time I take a step, if I have to think, now let's see, what law is involved here in this step that I take, and have to just focus on your foot and say, all right, foot move, and then foot move, and so on, life would be a very difficult thing. So our comfort is that year after year, for not only our own lifetime, but millennia, if not millions or billions of years prior to that, the energies of the universe have been going. And nothing has stopped them. Not one international gangster, not one monarch, not one despot, not one tyrant, not one educator has ever stopped one iota the flow of energy in this universe. But that is not because they wouldn't if they could. I suspect there are some people today in the environmentalist circles that would like to just, if they could, stop this world from going around. Lest it get a snail darter dizzy or something. They'd like to just stop it. And so we can, and then have everything spring up, and we have a worldwide park, and everybody just sit on the planet. Nothing moves. They would just sit on the planet and eat castor beans or something. And they would love that. Would love that. But that has never stopped the universe from going ahead. Now, if you and I want to identify with God, we will never build a platform high enough in our mentality to touch Him. And all of our reasoning about God is, for the most part, absurdity. And part of the reason it's absurdity is because of the mix that's up there under that skull of ours. I've told you that before. We've got so much misinformation, so much prejudice, so much experience that's negative, so many gaps in our knowledge, that for us to say we can build a mental ladder to God is absurd. Given the power of God to break through and touch our spirits by His Spirit, the things that we can learn about God and talk about God can be identified with the human mind. In other words, we've got a psyche, we've got a mind that is capable of talking about God. Grasshoppers do not talk about God, as far as I know. Never been in on one of their conversations yet, but they don't talk about God, as far as I can tell. All right, now all of that has the following point to it. That once the link between yourself and God is established, the human brain has the innate capacity, we have the equipment to interact with God's thoughts. We can talk about things like eternity, love, beauty, truth, goodness, and generally speaking, find an area of interaction in it. If I use the word beauty to you, even though there may be many different standards of beauty on people's part, they see things differently, beauty is in the eye of the beholder and all of that, but we know what we mean by it. If I talk to you about eternity, you know what I mean by it. We may have a lot of different definitions of it, but you know generally what it is. And if I use the word God, you know what I'm talking about. And even an atheist out in the field somewhere who doesn't believe in God at all knows enough about God to know what he doesn't believe. That's, of course, why the psalmist says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Even to deny God, in a way, has to, first of all, posit God and have enough intelligence about what God is to deny the concept God. In the circuit of the mechanical people, the garages, they sometimes send an apprentice out on a goose chase to find a hyperdeucinator. The hyperdeucinator is a nonsense thing. You don't even talk about belief or not belief. If I would sit down with a mechanic and say, I'd like to really present to you all the reasons why I don't believe in a hyperdeucinator, he'd say, forget it. Save your breath. You know, nothing to talk about. There's not even a concept to talk about it. But if someone says, I'd like to sit down and talk to you about the reasons I don't believe in God, there's a concept to talk about. So the point of this is that the human brain has the innate capacity to interact on a philosophical level, even the simplest of human beings, on a more or less philosophical level, about what God is or is not. Which incidentally is a strong confirmation of the weakness of the evolutionary hypothesis, because to evolve that kind of philosophical thinking is one thing to say that we can talk about a leader versus a not leader, you know. Talk about a tribal chief. I'm sure that the society of chimpanzees would have a pretty highly developed sense of community there. And probably have their, and of course you all know the animal kingdom, they have their lead animals. So they know that. We know the simple idea of despotism versus or tyranny or all of these things. Human beings could have evolved these in a physiological development, that is a physical evolution. They could have evolved these out of instinctive preservation, self-preservation. But to understand the philosophical meaning of a leader and to in turn apply that to a spirit being, or even to understand the meaning of spirit, is not something that comes out of evolution, but something that comes from the one who created the spirit. And just as there is that flow of, let us say, solar energy, as there is that ceaseless flow of solar energy that keeps our universe, or our cosmos at least, that solar energy keeps our cosmos going without our touching it, without our believing in it, without our being able to describe it, without anything we do on our part, that flow of solar energy is there and we tap it and make use of it. But we could choose not to tap it. There's a certain sense in which it's inescapable. Some aspects of life, whether we do anything about it or not, are going to be there because of solar energy. But, for example, we could dig a hole in the ground and sit under the surface of the earth and not have to be too much bothered with solar energy, other than whatever keeps the earth revolving. We could choose not to make use of it. One could be so much opposed to or unbelieving in solar energy that they could hide in their house all day long, never step foot out of it, hide in a cave because they don't want anything to do with solar energy. And they wouldn't have to be bothered too much with it. On the other hand, anybody who says, I want solar energy, I'd like to make use of it. You make use of it or you don't. Now, in principle, the Bible gives us the same concept of faith as God's gift to man. The energies that are resident within the idea of faith are available to those that want it. You merely operate on the basis of it. If you want to believe in God, you can. If you think your brain has got to first be settled about it, you may have trouble. By that, I mean if you think all the pieces have to be together. But if you say to God, look, I'd like to be part of your world, your family. I'm going to go in the belief that I'm going to take the point that you are there, and I'm going to act on that premise. Faith, which is adequate to give you the inner sense that it isn't absurd to accept the idea of God. Talking about that kind of faith that says, and you say as a human being, somehow I get the impact that God is there. And then you find that as you accept that and live by that premise, that it works out. That is, you get to your destination. By getting your destination, I mean that you... that life makes a lot more sense with God than without Him. Without God, life is a tale told by an idiot, according to one of our famous literary masters. Life is a tale told by an idiot. Shakespeare indicated that. It is a tale told by an idiot apart from the idea of God. I've said to you before, humanitarianism is idiocy apart from God. What difference does it make? There's no God, there's nothing to the world but revolutions and, revolutions of the world and death. Well, what do? Well, you just go for broke, get the best you can out of what you got left. Why mess with anything else? If one says, well, it's because, we want to have something for our children and so forth. And a better thing would be not to have children. You know, if you didn't believe in God, don't bring the poor wretches into the world. Other than what you would do if you do have children, you say, well, I want to do the best for them. Do it for them, but don't think in terms of how to propagate the race or how to make the world better for democracy or anything else. Don't think about it. It's idiocy. But you see, the very fact that people keep constantly coming back to that is another confirmation that God exists. Why do people that are atheists in terms of faith keep constantly driving the humanitarian thing out? I'm not arguing with them for being humanitarian. I'm glad they are. But I'm telling you it's absurd. It's inconsistent if they don't believe in God. Because the earth has no meaning apart from God. Man has no meaning. Do anything that gives you brief comfort while you're here, but don't mess around with things that impede your ability to enjoy what you've got, if there is no God. So now you see, I'm saying to you that there's enough basic interaction between God and man, and enough over the history, billions of people that have found that believing in God works out, that you cannot say it's absurd to believe in God. And I say to you, just as there is solar energy constantly flowing, there is God's divine impact upon man constantly flowing. The energies of faith are constantly around us. And if it were not for the overall energy of faith per se, of trust in the meaning of life, trust in the natural laws that are surrounding us, are the natural, the things that are happening. The law is only the description of what happened. We all live on this earth in as much a context of faith as we live in a context of solar energy. And nothing would go without it. You would not even have the confidence to step in that automobile and turn the key on. You wouldn't have the confidence to step outside of the building. You wouldn't have confidence to do anything unless you believed in something. And the confidence that there are constant forces of energy and of nature that are flowing in the world are what give us the basic reason to experiment, to move, to progress, to do everything that we do. We live in a paper world that requires a magnanimous amount of faith or confidence. What do you get from your employer if you work? Piece of paper. And you take it to the bank and you push it through the window. You've never seen a nickel. You've never seen an ounce of gold. You've never seen anything but a piece of paper. You go out and sit down at a desk somewhere and you write out other pieces of paper and send them around the country. Never see a nickel. They take your check when it comes, and of course they test it out naturally, but they don't really see any money. They just, the bank says, well, the check is good. What do they mean? 4-0 paper or what? The check is good, as far as they're concerned, and so the company is satisfied. You imagine that? Let's say you got a, isn't hard to run up a $500 bill on any given month on any credit account you have. You sit down and, of course, easily write out a check for $500, or not so easily. You write out to your, let's say you're making a payment on a house. And you put it in the mail, or you hand it to the person. Usually put it in the mail. That's all you think about it. Nobody comes to evict you. Nobody comes to say, look, I can't eat paper, you know, you sent me some paper. What do you think I'm doing here? You got my house. Don't just send me paper. I want money. No, he takes the paper. He can't eat it, but it becomes the basic resource which allows him to go out and gather groceries from the store. Put them in his cart, go up to the check stand. If you've got any credit at all, they'll take another piece of paper for all that food. They've given you material objects. They've given you cantaloupes and squash and rutabagas and bread and all the rest. And you filled your cart with that stuff. You walk up and you got $100 worth of groceries for half a week. You got all these groceries. They don't see a nickel of it if you write them a check. They've given you hard goods. I mean, they've given you material things, objects. They've had to go out and rustle up those objects, and they give them to you for a piece of paper. And so it goes. Everything we do in our society is based upon a great flow of energy, which is faith energy. The kind of thing that allows you to have enough confidence in the structure of society and the world and people and things. It all goes back to the same point. Somewhere that piece of paper you wrote out for your bill, somewhere that piece of paper has originated, that is, the concept of it, has originated in the whole structure of the natural world. You can even go to the point of saying there was a tree somewhere one time that somebody had to cut down to get that paper. But it's more than that. It is that over the thousands of years, this couldn't happen overnight. It's taken thousands of years of social interaction to believe in anything in human relationships. How do you know the person sitting next to you won't stab you when you walk out the door? How do you know it? Well, in some places you wouldn't know it. But one thing you know is that There has been enough buildup of human interactions in the world for enough years that you can depend on the fact that, generally speaking, if you apply the rules as laid out in society, you'll get along all right. It's taken all these years of interaction, but I have to say to you that there had to be a substance of common trust to make anything work in this world of human relations, secular or religious. Yes, people lie. People take your car away from you. But if they do, there are laws that govern the fact that you're not. If you went up then to, let's say somebody took your car away from you when you stepped out the door here, and you went over to our local police station, our constabulary, you said, look, here's my car, here's the license number, somebody stole it. They're not going to laugh in your face and say, well, tough luck, brother, I guess the guy got a pretty good car out of the deal, huh? They're not going to say that, you know that. The very fact that you and I live every day with some degree of confidence that the next move we make will be a rational expression of society has come from a principle which has been the foundation of all social interaction in the thousands of years of human history, a flow of faith, a flow that words mean what they mean, that things are in a sense what they seem, and we've built a society around that today. And the very people that argue against God happily jump in their automobile and take off down the road, assuming that the road's not going to just drop out or that the car's going to vanish in the air. It could happen, maybe in science fiction, or maybe if there were something such as UFO that can happen. But that's not the structure of our society. Our society would never have been built if we felt that nothing was constant. Okay? Now, all the point of this I'm saying to you is, it is as much an evidence of a faith energy flow in the world as the temperature and the light are an evidence of the solar energy that's flowing in the world. Only faith has had a broader application. It has caused that inner spark of something in the human spirit or psyche or brain, that inner spark within the psyche has been the basis upon which human beings, Christian or not Christian, have related to each other in an orderly society. Now, when you want to find God, or you want to ask, how do I know God exists? I'm saying to you that whereas your mind cannot build a mental, rational ladder to God, everything within you allows you to consider the idea of God and His energy. If you want God, if you want to believe in Him, His energy picks that up. Or you can simply make use of that faith energy about you as you make use of solar energy. Without understanding it, without having all the answers to the problems that it creates, but as sure as that sun is there and you say, yes, I'm going to function that the sun is there, so you function that God is there. In the matter of God, a lot of baggage is attached to the belief in God, which may give people uneasiness about whether they have found God or not. The baggage consists of the things people say ought to be true if you believe in God. That's the baggage. If somebody says, well, if you really believe in God, you ought to be able to get healed, or you ought to be able to get rich, or you ought to be able to be a nice person, or you ought to be able to be peace with everybody, or whatever. If you attach that kind of baggage, you're getting into a shaky field. There's some things the Bible will give to us that are more or less guarantees, but it really doesn't guarantee anything as far as happiness on this earth is concerned. Many of God's greatest advocates and adherents lived wretched lives on the earth. Many did. So separate that out. There are pros and cons and pluses and minuses and things to sort out about exactly what God does for it. Does He heal you? Does He put money in your hands? All this sort of thing that you get in great profusion in the media. That this is what God should do for you if you've come to God. Now, all of that's baggage. Sort it all out. Some things may be all right and some not. The only thing I'll guarantee to you is if you turn to God and say, I want to make use of that energy. I'm going to accept God. And I'm going to take some step of looking into the Bible, see what it has to say. And if I find that the Bible tends to work out in my life, I'll use it. If it doesn't, I won't. Now, that's a shaky thing. I understand that. I'm bringing you to the brink of doubt that I can stabilize your faith. You understand that? I want to explore your doubts so that I can stabilize your faith. And say to you that your faith rests on far more than what you conceive that God ought to do for you, or what somebody else tells you God ought to do for you if He's around. Forget all the misconceptions and the conceptions about what ought to be or ought not to be. If somebody says, well, if you're a Christian, you ought to do this or that. How so? You know, don't give me that excess baggage. Let's first clarify the point that God is, and I want to be part of Him. And I believe that He is the basic essence of this universe, and I'm going to live on that basis. Then we sort out the details. Should He pay your rent or not? You know? If He pays the rent on the sparrow, should He pay your rent? We don't know all those things. A lot of things we have to sort out. And I've tried to give you things that I can say God does help you with. Tried to show you things that you can't really be sure He's going to help you with. But on the raw essence of faith, is God there? Is God? Does God exist? Your assurance is not some mental action or some feeling of easiness or anything that has to do with who you are or what you are, because it's too inadequate to guarantee it. And if you were responsible for keeping the sun going up there by turning a hand crank, you'd be pretty tired by the end of the day. If you're responsible for keeping the energy of faith alive by how you feel about it or what you think about it, you've got a problem. But if you go along each day and you don't put too much confidence in your mental attitudes, you wake up in a brown mood some morning, don't worry about it. See? It's not going to stop faith just because you don't feel good that day. And I kept telling all of you, do your job every day, go to work, do your thing, do what you're supposed to do, and don't try to become faith specialists. You haven't got the equipment. Any more than you've got to be a solar specialist to go out and make use of the energies of the earth. Live in the reality that God exists, and trust His power to keep that flow of faith energy going. And it will be evidenced by your sustained, continual return to God time after time after time. You will have difficulty getting away from God, just as you will have difficulty getting away from the sun. Does God understand your doubts? He must. He made a brain that's capable of doubting. Does He throw you out because you doubt? No. How can you trust if you don't doubt first? But don't trust your brain. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your moods. Don't trust your human misconceptions. And don't trust other people's misconceptions as much as your own. But turn to God as you would turn to the sun. in your mind and say, God, I mean in your spirit, say, God, I want to be part of you. Help me. Show me. Teach me. Give me strength to follow you. And then you open up the whole subject of the instruction about Christ and so forth. But that's another field.